Now there are lots of wild mushrooms in the Midwest landscape, and morel season is a pretty big deal here in Wisconsin. Some call Wisconsin the morel capital of America, with generations of families searching for them every spring. Why? Because they're tasty. On this week's edition of Food Friday, our guest shares advice on foraging for morels and other edible wild mushrooms, and how to cook them. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Do you forage for morels? Are you looking forward to the season? Most likely, what, mid to late next month? Is this a tradition in your family? Do you have a trick to hunting them? Do you want to share your secret spot? Probably not. And how do you like to eat them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Alan Burgo is a chef in Minnesota who hunts for and cooks with wild mushrooms. He runs the website Forager Chef, which is focused on seasonal cooking, preservation, and culinary experimentation. He's got a book coming out soon called The Forager Chef's Book of Flora, recipes and techniques for edible plants from garden, field, and forest. Alan, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, you've got a lot of fellow morel fans out there, I assume, Alan. But for the uninitiated, can you tell us why you love foraging for morels and other wild mushrooms?
Well, I mean, for me, it's kind of like a giant Easter egg hunt. And morels are one of the most exciting to find. It's, you know, we've been cooped up the whole winter, and it's really great to be able to go outside. And it's, I mean, it's kind of like Christmas. Like, each one is like finding money laying on the ground too. You know, it's really exciting. I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. It's a rush. I mean, it's a sport. In Europe, it's almost a sport.
Yeah. Well, and like most sports, there's a chance of losing. I've been in a couple of ill-fated morel expeditions where we came back empty-handed in my life. Is that part of the fun? You might or might not be successful this time around?
I mean, absolutely. It wouldn't be exciting if there wasn't a chance to lose. So you got to figure out ways to hedge your bet.
Now, I want to get some safety stuff in here. What do we want to do for the first time, or especially before we go looking for wild mushrooms of any sort, to make sure we're getting the edible ones, not the other ones?
Yeah, it's good to have a field guides can be helpful. Your online community, there's very helpful Facebook groups, your local mycological society. You want to use a combination of things. The best thing that you can do is take someone out with you that knows, that is from your area. That's one of the best ways to make sure. But you do want to know that you're eating, you can identify what you're going to eat with certainty.
Now let's start eating them. Tell us a little bit about what the best ways to cook morels and what they're going to taste like when we eat them.
Well, morels, you know, there's not really another mushroom like them. They have a really rich, meaty, umami flavor. They're not bitter. They have a really nice texture. Like some wild mushrooms, like slippery jacks, they're kind of slippery and slimy. Morels are just this wonderful, light flavor. They can get really big and meaty, big enough to stuff. They dry well, so they're super versatile. And they're just one of the most delicious mushrooms around. I mean, dried morels are really expensive, too. They could go as high as $200-$300 a pound. Dried. I mean, that's a lot of mushrooms, but
yeah, mushrooms are light. That's a nice thing. Yeah. Now, can we? I know with like the button mushrooms I buy in the store, I can cut those up and eat them raw in salads. Is that something I can do with morels?
The morels are fascinating because I'm from Minnesota, and morels the state mushroom, and they're delicious. They're edible. They're also toxic, and that only applies to them really if they're raw or if they are potentially undercooked. So you do always want to make sure that you cook your morels thoroughly.
We are talking on Food Friday about morels, and we'll maybe look at some other wild mushrooms, how to find them and how to cook them. Alan Burgo is with us, a chef in Minnesota. You can find him at the website Forager Chef, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions or you want to share your own experiences gathering morels and other mushrooms and how you like to eat them. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Kay is with us in Prairie du Chien. Kay, hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. What's your story, Kay?
Okay. When I was younger, I used to, oh, thank you for taking my call. I used to live in the country, and I would go mushroom hunting when it was like just a light sprinkle and damp. But what I would do is I would pull my socks up over the bottom of my pant legs, and then I would put tie around the top of that. Then I would tie my sleeves at the wrist, and I would tighten up my collar. And I always wore a hat with my hair stuffed up on it, a tight hat. And I very seldom ever caught very many woodticks. Of course, there wasn't as many then as there is now, because it's been years ago. But I would take and I would get so many mushrooms. I mean, I crawl through the berry briars, single mother with two children. And I would, what I would find, I would clean them up, and I used to get bags of them. And I had a big freezer. What I used to do is take them home, clean them real well, cut them in half lengthways, and lay them on sheets, cookie sheets, layer them in my freezer. And then when they were froze, I tap them and I put them all in one big bag. And that was, of course, I had to give some the fresh ones away, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were so good because you could, when they were still froze, you'd give them a good wrap. Sometimes they'd break up. And then you could put them in, like, with your roasts, with your Ooh. Stews, with anything. And you know, your chicken noodle soup or whatever. That I mean, great. Anything.
Okay, thank you so much. Kay, very careful about ticks when she used to go hunting for them. But she also brings up something I'd wanted to ask you about, Alan, preserving. If we do hit the mother load of morels, how do we preserve them? Kay would freeze them. What do you think? Is that the best way to preserve them?
Well, sometimes freezer space can be at a premium. So what I usually do is I put mine in a dehydrator. And they're, like I said, one of the best things about morels is that you can dry them and then rehydrate them and cook them. And when you fry some of those in butter, you could probably fool some morel hunters into thinking that they're fresh. Mm. They really dry well. And drying them also means that you'll swish them in water to kind of rehydrate them. And that is also kind of an extra step of cleaning them. Because, I mean, these are wild mushrooms that did real wild mushroom things. You know, they get all kinds of stuff on them. And it helps make sure you don't get any grit with the mushrooms.
Okay, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Alan, you shared a couple of recipes with us. We've got them at wpr.org/foodfriday. We've got links up there. This one, I love this because it combines the morels with another one of my favorite springtime pieces of produce here, a morel and ramp spaghetti. Tell us about this dish.
So the morel and ramp spaghetti that's from one of my old chefs that I used to work with. His name is Andy Lilja, and he is very talented, and we still will get together. I just saw him a couple weeks ago to hunt morels every year, my old chef and I. And that's another thing. It's a great way to have a yearly tradition with your friends to go outside. It's really great, you know, in a world where we all live on our phones and stuff like that. It's good to still connect in person. But this was a recipe that Andy sent me, and he's like, oh, man, this was so good. I had to write it down right away and send it to you. So you take some ramps and morels and you work them into pasta with a good amount of butter and a little bit of anchovy and some fresh parsley and Parmesan cheese. And it is just excellent. You can even garnish it with lilac flowers because you can eat lilac flowers too.
Cool. You can find that recipe linked at wpr.org/foodfriday. Let's bring out another caller now. Tim is with us in Appleton. Tim, hi.
Hello. You
good? What do you want to tell us about, Tim?
Well, I went. I still go opening trout season from the western part of the state, and where I grew up. And we go out and we try to have trout for breakfast if you know it's a good year. And then groups go out. One group will go looking for morels, and another group will go looking for asparagus. And then we've in the last 10 years or so we've made asparagus and morel and mozzarella cheese pizzas. So Ooh. That's a little different.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds great, Tim. Invite me along next time. That sounds really good. Yeah, morels on a pizza, combining it with the wild asparagus. So a nice foraged pizza there. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, that's good. You just want to make sure to cook the morels thoroughly before you put them on the pizza.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Now, one of my favorite, thanks a lot for sharing that experience with us. One of the my favorite ways to cook morels that other people have provided for me or that I've bought, Alan, is just sautéing them for a while in butter and a little salt and pepper. Like they don't necessarily need anything fancy, right?
That is absolutely right. And my girlfriend would say that is the only way that she should be served morels. She does not, some, she just wants them simple, fried in butter with salt and pepper, and that's it. And that's perfectly fine.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Alan Burgo, a Minnesota chef who hunts for and cooks with wild mushrooms. He runs the website Forager Chef, where he focuses on seasonal cooking, preservation, and culinary experimentation. Talk to him about foraging for mushrooms and how to whip up a delicious dish with them. He stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a mushroom foraging story to share with us? What's your favorite way to eat morels or other wild mushrooms? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue this Food Friday conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk about how to spot and cook wild mushrooms as morel season is about to ramp up here in Wisconsin. Alan Burgo is with us, a chef in Minnesota who hunts for and cooks with wild mushrooms. You can find a lot of information from him, including recipes, at the website Forager Chef. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234 with Roger in Madison. Roger, hi.
Good evening. Good afternoon. It's a very wonderful mushroom. I've been hunting them since I was a teenager, and I'm 72. And last year, I found pretty close to 40 pounds of mushrooms.
Wow.
And I cook them like the lady said, in butter, salt, and pepper. They don't need anything else. You don't need to try to make them fancy. They're fancy enough. And I find a lot of them by dead elm trees or old apple orchards.
Ooh, Roger, thanks for that tip. And wow, 40 pounds, that's a lot of morel mushrooms. Alan, do you have things like that you watch for, like Roger's dead elms or apple orchards that might make you think, okay, this is where the morels are going to be?
So there's a lot of different things that you can kind of look for. Elms are one thing, dead and dying elms, and there's kind of a specific way that the bark starts to shed off. Like, you don't want the elms too dead. You want to kind of sloughing its bark. But morels, more than like a specific tree like that, I like to describe it to people. Well, one thing that can be helpful is to say, I'm looking for disturbances, because that's one of the ways that morels function is disturbances. In Europe, people used to set fire to their forests because they knew the next year the morels would come. So burns can be a great place to look for morels. Places that have been logged, a great quick story is we just had some, I'm right by Menominee up in northwest Wisconsin, and there was some land logged at the farm that I'm at. There's not a lot of morels there, but I had an inkling there might be some morels after it was logged. A year after it was logged, I found one mushroom. Last year, I went to the same place and I found about 70 mushrooms.
Wow.
And so that's another example of what you can do, because hunting around elms, there's also a lot of competition. You can also find morels with aspens, and there's actually a specific type. It's different from the grays and blondes are actually the same type of morel. We'd probably call those Morkella americana. And then you have Morkella septentrionalis, which is a black morel up in northern Minnesota. That's probably going to start coming out of the ground in, I would say, less than a week. So that's almost 3 weeks before we might expect the golden blonde morels. But those grow with aspen trees and living aspen trees, not dead like with the dead elms. So there's different things that you can do to kind of hedge your bet. But disturbed areas, even areas that flood, could be another example. Or they could just randomly come up in a wood chip pile. But this year, I'll be looking in logged areas because I have some on private property, and that is, there's nothing better than that because, you know, no one's been in your spot.
Roger, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Russ now in Stoughton. Russ, hi.
Hi. thank you for taking my call. I'm a 74, but in my mid-20s, my friend's uncle, who knew all about mushrooms, used to take us mushroom hunting, and we would get lots of button-type mushrooms. But occasionally, we would find one of these huge white mushrooms that must have been, could have been 10, 12 inches in diameter. And I think he called those a Bohemian term of klebitch. And we would split one of them, if that's all we found, and cut it up and fry it in butter and garlic powder. And they were excellent. And my other question is, in my local paper, they are advertising morel mushroom kits for about $40 that you can plant in your backyard. And it comes with compost and guaranteed to give you morels for years. Is that really a reality?
No, that's not.
Russ, thanks for the call. Yeah, so why not? So we can't. It seems like cheating, but also, yeah, if it was that easy, everybody'd be doing it, I imagine, Alan.
I have heard of some places that maybe supplied a restaurant or two, but in the mycological world, at least everyone that I know, and I know a decent amount of people in the mycological world, they all just make fun at the morel kits. It's kind of like a snake oil salesman. I would love to buy a morel kit, but they're usually just a waste of time.
Now, Russ also mentioned this big, wide, white mushroom he had. Does that ring a bell for you, Alan?
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be any number of things. I would guess that he was talking about a puffball, because those can be very large and white, and you might split one, like, down the center. But there are lots of big – there can be a lot of big white mushrooms. Puffballs are probably the most common, talking about big white mushrooms. And those can be very, very good.
Thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. It's Food Friday, talking to Minnesota chef Alan Burgo. He runs the website Forager Chef, looking at morels and other wild mushrooms. Back to your calls now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi. Are you there, John? Oh, no, we lost John. That's okay, because I wanted Alan to ask you about another recipe you shared with us, crab-stuffed morels. Tell us what goes into this one, please.
So this is cool because you can make it with either dried or fresh morels. Morels have – one of the best things about them is their shape. It is just this beautiful shape with the honeycomb pattern, and it's begging to be stuffed. So a little stuffing made of crab meat, some breadcrumbs, a little bit of parsley, some garlic, a few scrapes of lemon zest. You stuff that into the morels, and then you cover them with a little bit of breadcrumbs and butter, and you bake them. And that is one of the best things that I have eaten. They love to be stuffed, and crab meat makes a really good stuffing. It's an easy home run.
Got a link at WPR.org/Food Friday to that recipe. Alan, I know we're talking about mushrooms and you like mushrooms. They're not the only thing, I think, that you like to forage. What else is on your foraging calendar for spring and early summer?
Well, I'm going to be harvesting wild leeks from the farm. I'm going to be harvesting a lot of different, mostly I eat wild greens. Probably a lot more wild greens by volume and poundage than mushrooms. Nettles, there will be sochan, watercress, dame's rocket, chickweed, Virginia waterleaf, all kinds of things. And then the next mushroom that'll come up, or right around the morels, will be the dryad saddle too, or the pheasant back. And those are a great mushroom to get to know because they're really easy to identify, and they're a lot easier to find than morels, so you don't have to go home empty-handed. And those like to grow near dead elms too.
In just our last minute or so, Alan, for people who haven't ever foraged for food, can you just share some of the joy of finding these things in the wild and then cooking with them and eating them?
Oh, come again?
What do you enjoy about being able to forage for wild foods? Just share that enthusiasm with the people who have never done it.
Well, I mean, it is some of the most delicious things I can find. And as a chef, I'm obsessed with high quality ingredients. That's all I wanted when I was running my restaurants. That's what I was taught, you know, my whole life in the culinary industry is how important, you know, perfect ingredients are. And ingredients will never be more perfect than, you know, like the moment after you plucked them right from the ground and brought them right into the kitchen to throw them in a pan. It just doesn't get better, any better than that.
Fantastic.
And you get to be outside.
Alan, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Alan Burgo is a chef in Minnesota who hunts for and cooks with wild mushrooms and other foraged food. You can find more at the website Forager Chef, and his upcoming book is called The Forager Chef's Book of Flora, Recipes and Techniques for Edible Plants from Garden, Field, and Forest. You can find a couple of his recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. And if that's not enough wild mushroom talk for you, the Larry Mueller Show covered some ground with world-renowned expert Thomas Volk earlier this week. You can find a link to that show in our program note at our website, WPR.org. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, the pandemic shook up a lot of people's retirement plans, leading some to leave the job world earlier than they planned and forcing others to stay longer. An expert on retirement finance joins the show, and you could share your experiences. And Green Bay, more like Green Bee. We'll find out why Green Bay is recognized as a bee-friendly city. That's Monday on Central Time.